A warm welcome to our carol service tonight. It's very good to see many of you here, and especially the children in the back. If I'd known, I would have brought some of my children's stuff with me, but there we are. We're all here to worship God and to give Him the glory. Let's turn our eyes upon Him in prayer. Oh Lord God Almighty, we thank You that we celebrate the miracle of Christmas, the fact that love has come down to earth, to come to be part of humanity, to come to carry our burdens, to come to show us the way. And we pray now that You show us the way how to worship You. As the shepherds and the wise men came to worship our Lord, we've come tonight to give Him the glory and praise. So we ask Your blessing now upon this service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We can start singing the hymns that are on our little pamphlet here, all the hymns, and we're going to start with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. So, no better way to start than give Him the glory right now. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you. Church now to do the scripture reading. Thank you.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. We'll continue to worship God by singing our next hymn, which is about the shepherds. "While shepherds watched their flocks by night, or seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around." Thank you.
Thank you.
Upon the Quince Evangelical Church now to give the prayers. Thank you. Let's quiet our hearts and minds, close our eyes, and turn ourselves to God at the throne of grace. Let's pray. Our great, gracious, and almighty God, as we come together tonight, remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for your blessing to come down upon us. We recognise that we deserve nothing from your good hand. We certainly do not deserve the blessings that come through the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. We acknowledge that we are sinners and that we have failed to live in the ways in which you have directed. And yet in spite of this, you have shown your great love towards us by sending your own Son into the world, not just to provide us with a cause of celebration at this time of year, but more importantly to hear what he said as he lived life upon earth, as he ministered to the people, and more importantly, that he went to the cross and in dying upon the cross, took upon himself the sins of the world. And that is demonstrated that he had achieved all that he said he would, because he raised him from the dead. Death could no longer hold him, because he had defeated sin and death and hell. We do thank you, our gracious God, that you so loved us, that you sent your one and only Son, that we might know eternal life, though we deserve no such thing. Yet, out of your great mercy, you sent him for us. And we pray that this night, each one of us might know peace, joy, mercy, and love in our hearts, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, and that we know that we are going to heaven, and that there we will enjoy everlasting bliss and eternal glory, knowing you every day, face to face, and rejoicing in your presence and your goodness and mercy and loving kindness towards us. We do pray for your blessing upon us as we gather tonight, that we would sing from our hearts, and we pray that you would give us understanding of that of which we sing. And especially we pray that we would understand the words of that first hymn, that we might know what it means to have the second birth, that we each might be able to say that we know what it is to be born again. We do pray for your blessing upon us as we gather afterwards and as we enjoy fellowship together. And we do remember those who would love to be with us tonight but are unable to join with us. We ask for your blessing upon them. We do pray especially for Arwin, and we pray that in his current illness he will soon be delivered from it. We pray that you will give the surgeons wisdom, that when he finally has his operation, he will quickly recover and be restored to us. And we look forward to having him together with us when we next meet like this, next Christmas. And we pray that we will rejoice to hear his lovely voice singing along with ours. And so we come to you again. And we ask your blessing upon us, not because we deserve it, not because we are worth it, but because you are gracious and loving and merciful and kind. And you have demonstrated your kindness and love and mercy to us by sending the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to be our Saviour. We ask all these things in his name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You have the announcements now, Mona. Thank you.
So, as Arwin was supposed to give the announcements, but you have to make do with me, I'm afraid. Welcome to you all. It's a very, very good sign. You run out of leaflets, isn't it? I had thought so many, but I've run out. So, if you haven't got the leaflets, can you share it with the person next door, please? That's a very good sign. Welcome to you all. Thank you all for coming tonight for this special service. Thank you to the Reverend Glyn Jones for arranging it. I've had nothing to do with it at all. He's done everything. And thank you to everyone who's taken part. Thank you very much. May you all have a happy and peaceful Christmas. Our announcements here in Western Rhin, Christmas Day, United Service, Oedfrain Depot, Seiant Gwyn Ceiliog at 9:30 a.m. Next Sunday here at 10:30, Cyfarfod Gwely prayer meeting. Then if you would like to contribute on the way out, there is a plate by the door, we're not doing a formal collection, and please all stay for a cup of tea at the end.
Thank you. Thank you, Mona. We all know that Mona does so much for this church, and also Gwyn at the organ here. They're really pillars, and we heard about Arwyn. Arwyn, unfortunately, is ill tonight and not able to be with us. But can we continue now to worship God by singing our next hymn, Once in Royal David City? Stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid a baby in a manger for his bed. Thank you. I'm just going to ask a short prayer so the Lord can just open our hearts as we turn to him. Let me turn in a short prayer. Oh Lord God, we thank you for giving us this opportunity tonight to come to worship you, to put our eyes upon you. And as we do that, we just ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to open the scriptures out, to speak into our hearts and to see that in the old, old story, there's something new for each and every one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And please sing my sermon tonight, because it's what we can learn from the wise men. It's something very, very basic, and something that we all need to think about, especially this time of year. But I'm basing it on the length verse of the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew from what we've already heard. I'm coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. That's exactly what we are doing tonight, and I'm very, very pleased to see the children. I've had three family services already today, so I thought tonight I won't have any children, so I left the props at home. So I'm sorry about that, but you know, we were thinking about this special day, because we know the song, we know, and the psalm that says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And this day is very, very important. And you know what I did? With those children, they all had to come and they had to sit here. Now, I won't make you do that, because that will embarrass you. But the main thing is, what is important for us to remember, that this day is important. And we wonder, why is this day important? Well, they couldn't figure it out why this particular day, because to them, the most important day is the 25th. It's Christmas Day, because they get their gifts, etc. But, I said, why is today important? And then, we made an illustration. I used a son. One person became a son and held a little sign up, and he was the son. And then, we have the world. Now, the God created that son. He's given that son for each and every one of us. But also, the world itself. The earth. And as the earth revolves around the sun, 365 1/4 days, we have our year, but we have our seasons. And this very day, this is the day the Lord has made, we have found that we have our shortest day. In fact, at noon today, the sun was overhead the Tropic of Capricorn. A bit far away from here, but all places in the northern hemisphere within our winter. And actually, if we measured it, right, try it tomorrow, it'll be slightly less tomorrow, but it's 16 hours of darkness on this very day and 8 hours of light. That's what we have. But this is God's creation. This is what God has created for each one of us. And what we're going to talk about tonight is also God's creation. Because we're going to look at the wise men. We're going to think how we can be wise, how God wants us to be wise as we come to worship him. Now, we're going to ask that simple question. And I know you know the answers. And I'm sure you could build up on what I'm going to say. But it's important. Who are the wise men? Secondly, what are the significance of their gifts? And thirdly, how can dreams lead to supernatural safety? Three things, three simple things, but a part of this wonderful Christian Christmas story that we've got. But it's the truth. And I want us to think of that. You know, another remarkable thing, that top of the hit parade today is a song called Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I was sharing, and the Welsh congregation won't mind me repeating, but I was sharing with them a couple of weeks ago. I've had the privilege, and I'm so sure many of you have, of being at the birthplace of the Lord Jesus. And I remember one of the times, every time I've gone there, something special has happened. And we were sitting, and so, you will know, they are some seats very similar to what we've got here. And I remember sitting in one of those seats, and nothing had happened. And I wondered, what's going to happen today? And I just stood up, and I looked above me, and there was the words, it says there, "Sanctuary, where I is thee," or after a bit, that this place is holy ground. That's what that says. You are on holy ground. And tonight, we will probably find that, you know, the prayers of people that established this, and established the church across the road, and established the Quince Evangelical Church, have been concrete in what God wants to do in our lives. But above my head was the word Hallelujah. And you know, Hallelujah means praise God. No better place to praise God than in the birthplace of our Lord Jesus. And it wasn't that wonderful that we were there. And I was thinking about that Hallelujah as well. Some of you probably have daily readings, and one of my daily readings was based on Hallelujah. Talked about the composer George Frederick Handel, that when he was bankrupt in 1741, a group of Dublin charities offered him a commission to write a musical work. And it was for a benefit performance to raise funds to free men from debtors' prison. Now, he accepted that commission and started writing. And in only 24 days, he composed the well-known masterpiece, The Messiah. Now, that contains, as we all know, the Hallelujah Chorus. Now, during that time, he never left his home and often went without eating. At one point, his servant found him weeping. He was engulfed by this wonderful work that he was involved in. And Handel recounts this experience. And he says like this: "Whether I was in my body or out of my body, as I wrote it, I know not, but God knows." See, God, this music was God ordained. And these things that keep on, and it's wonderful. It's not a coincidence. Not at all. It's God's perfect plan that we do have. And the two top songs in this country being sold to younger people in this country at the moment is Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's important for us to remember that. Yeah, you know, we've got, and a little poem finishes this off. "Beautiful Saviour, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honour, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine." Yeah, God wants to move in a fantastic way. And we've got to think about these wise men, who they are. But before doing that, my Welsh congregation think I'm peculiar, but I'm mad because on different mornings, I read different extracts from the Gospel, and I have three to base our sermon on today. The first one came from the prophet Isaiah. Now you think Isaiah spoke to his people 700 years before Jesus was born. You think how remarkable what that was. And what did he say? Well, he said this simply in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse: "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. God, this is God sending God a babe in skin to be part of humanity, to be part, to lead us and to guide us. The second reading came from "More Precious Than Gold." See, these wonderful readings which mean so much. And this again was from a prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse: "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Isn't that wonderful? Are we expecting something tonight? Are we expecting God to do something in our life? Are we awaiting? And then the last one again from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse: "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God." No, let's not forget. We're here to worship him tonight. We're here to find out more about him. And it's important that we find that out. All these readings this time round has come from Gift of Christmas, a little booklet which is so valuable. Answering our first question: who are the wise men? Now, my readings, I know some of you probably find dozens of reasons, but I'm only going to mention three tonight. Three simple reasons who the wise men were. Some say they were Jews who had stayed in Babylon following their capture. This is probably a case, because most of the Jews had returned to Israel, but some had stayed in Babylon. And there's a possibility that some of these wise men were Jews. Secondly, they were experts who studied the stars. Certainly they knew, they looked for the stars, and they knew there was a falling star. They knew there were that which meant to them that a new king was going to be born. And they followed that star. They were experts. They knew what they were doing. And thirdly, they were led by God from the east. God was in it. And that's the most important thing. And I think tonight, when we consider those three simple explanations, you know, there's truth probably in all of them. But let's count the last as being important. God was in it. God sent those wise men. And they came all that distance. And there's no wonder they came to Jerusalem. Because to them, when they looked at that star, it was above Jerusalem. Because that little village of Bethlehem is only 5 miles away. But as they came to Jerusalem, they knew where they could find out. They knew that there, in the palace of Herod, was the king. And they asked him. And of course, he was upset and concerned. But he knew. He was wise enough to know that the scribes would find out for him where the Bible said that he was born. And the Bible knew that in the 5th chapter, as already has been read to us, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, or Ephrata, as the King James tells us, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you, out of you will come a ruler, will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Here he is. Micah was actually lived 500 years before Christ, and yet he had prophesied this. And they went out and looked towards Bethlehem, and there it was. It was above. And they followed the star to that very place. And by this time, of course, we know some time had gone since the birth of Jesus, but irrespective of this, they found the Lord Jesus. And I wonder tonight, you know, as we come, what is God saying to us? You know, the Bible is full of examples of how we should be wise. But I'm only going to look at two books. I'm going to look at the Psalms, because although we think the Psalms, we give the glory to God through them, but there are certain things and certain verses that encourage us to be wise. And the first one is in the second Psalm. And the second Psalm and the 10th verse tells us like this. Therefore you kings, and God, it counts us as being important. To God, we are kings. We are important in his eyes. And he's saying to us, therefore you kings, be wise. He's telling us immediately. And then as we move to the 19th Psalm, we find there in the 7th verse of the 19th Psalm, another example of what we should do. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. See, God wants to make us all wise. We want to concentrate and put our focus upon him tonight, and he will make us wise. The book that tells us most about being wise is the next one, the Proverbs. Here, this Solomon has been inspired. And here we find in the 3rd chapter of Proverbs, and the 7th verse, he tells us like this, very, very simply. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Isn't it a tendency for us to do that? To go through our own ways, not go the way God wants us. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Yeah, don't be wise in our own eyes. Do what God wants us to do. And then we come to the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Go to the ants. He's taking a simple little ant. You know how it works like an ant is? You sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. Let's be as active as a little ant is. And then in the 8th chapter, the 33rd verse, it tells us very clearly, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. And then we'll just have one more. The 23rd chapter and the 19th verse tells us again of what God wants us to do. Listen, my son and daughter, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Now that's God's plan for us tonight. He wants to keep us on that road eternally. And he's telling us, right, wherever the wise man came from, okay, that's not important. What's important tonight, we are given this opportunity to worship God, and he wants to make us wise. Secondly, what are the significance of their gift? Right, we know the gifts they bought. They bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts. Peculiar gifts for the babe, but yet there's significance in this. See, they brought the gold. It's no wonder they brought the gold. We've come to worship the King of Kings. This is why the gold was significant. But, you know, there's something more in this. We realise that soon after this, and we'll be talking about this in our third note, that Joseph was led to escape. He wanted to keep the Lord Jesus safe, and they became refugees. They went to Egypt. You know, today, how many refugees are there in the world today? Millions. And we collect money to send money to families who have had to flee in the Congo, in Zimbabwe, even in Israel itself. In Bethlehem, we have, think of children there that have been persecuted. God wants to bless them. And here we are. I'm sure when they went to Israel, they used this gold to keep the family until they were ready to return to Herod after Herod had died. God wants to help us. He wants to help us each day. And we can ask ourselves, what can we give? Well, we can give ourselves. We can give our time. And we are here tonight. And He wants to bless us for that. Your time is important for each and every one of us. Secondly, they brought the frankincense. This was to help them worship. You know, we don't have our outward things to worship God. We don't need it. We are here as people. We are here to give ourselves, to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, because He can open. He can help them. And then the third was myrrh. Myrrh, what they placed on the dead body, the ointment, the same ointment the women, the spices the women took to the grave to anoint the body of our Lord Jesus on Easter morning. But here, as a gift to the babe, to remind us that Jesus was going to die on the cross for each one of us. He is going to save us, and He has come to this world. You know, God is here tonight. And He wants to say something, and I'm sure as we move on to our last, you know, how do these dreams lead to supernatural safety? We find here that what happened. Already I mentioned about Joseph. In a dream, he was given an escapism, and he took the escapism, and he took his family, and he was kept safe. And same as the wise men. Although they said they were going to return to Jerusalem to tell Herod, they went away a different route. See, they were led. And because of that, the Lord Jesus has been protected. I've been privileged in the last week or so, and a group of local ministers and various things have been coming together, and we've been praying. Many of them are from just over the border. Some live in Oswestry Street, some in the Wrexham area, and they gathered the other day in the church I run in Llangollen, and we were there and we were praying. And I want to share with you, because God wants to speak to us today, because He's speaking not only in visions, in pictures, through our friends, through our families, through our church members. He can say certain things, and God wants to say to us, and I want to share, you know, what we came out in this wonderful fellowship. It was a vision, a prophecy, if you like. And what we saw there, we saw that, you know, each building, as we were talking about, this building here, the church across the road, Quinta Evangelical Church, were all being set up by prayers of people over the years. We've heard recently about how hospitals, certain hospitals have had to be closed, mainly because they've had so much MRI impregnated into the building itself. And because of this, the hospital had to close. Well, impregnated into these buildings are the prayers of people over 100 years ago. And these prayers are going to be answered. God has said He wants to revive His people. He wants to bring us up. And it's important that we remember that. This is part of his plan. Maybe we see a certain picture in this beautiful area we live in. And this beautiful picture, we maybe see a little white cottage on a little valley slope. And as you see on us, on this cottage, the sun shines sometimes, and there's beautiful rejoicing there. But sometimes you're in a cloud, and there's problems. Well, whatever the circumstances, you know, out of our cottage came a family, the father, the mother, and the children. And they came down and walked across into the valley bottom. And as they crossed the bridge, they went and started worshipping by a cross. But as they walked along, other families saw them and joined them. And in the end, there was a large congregation. And God was in the centre. Yeah, Jesus had come to earth to be in the centre of our lives. He wants to help us. He wants to lead us. He wants to gather us. And whatever reason we find tonight, it's important that we finish off with three readings, again, from this gift of Christmas. The first came from Luke, the first chapter, the 6th and 7th verse. They were both righteous before God, but they had no child. Yes, this was Zechariah and Elizabeth, both righteous people who worshipped God. And yet, we know that the miracle birth of John the Baptist led to the leading of the Lord Jesus. Luke, the first chapter, the 31st verse, tells us that this, the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary and said, "Conceive in your womb, and by faith, a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he has come to save his people from their sins." That's what Jesus has done. He's here amongst us tonight. And last of all, from Matthew, the first chapter, the 21st verse, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Here we are. You know, we've come. We worship. We found out because Jesus is here. And Jesus wants to bless us and wants to guide us and wants to lead us. And let us be wise tonight. And as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And he will guide us and he will lead us. Can we turn in a short word of prayer? Thank you, Lord, for inspiring us tonight through your word that's full of truth. We ask you to uplift us and to strengthen us and give us all a heavenly view of this world. We thank you for giving us this opportunity, and we ask your special blessing upon each family here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we sing our last hymn, which is, "O Come, Holy Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant, O Come Ye, O Come Ye to Bethlehem, Come and Behold Him, Born the King of Angels, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, Christ the Lord, O Come, Holy Faithful." Thank you. Thank you.
not created, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Likewise all angels sing in exaltation, sing holy citizen of heaven above.
Tea and the mince pies, don't run away, and we can smile at each other. This is what we do here, and we say the grace one and to another, as Paul did in the gospel. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.